From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
Last year, one of the big conversations that started last year was about the future of the Parker Tube Float, which is one of the biggest, I would say it's sort of its own holiday weekend now on the river here in Parker, Arizona. And, you know, it's been a big conversation because of what happened up in Bullhead, and it's opened up a conversation here. And so you guys, Mary, at the Parker Regional Chamber of Commerce and Tourism, had to make a decision.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So you had to kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out, what are we going to do with this float? We've been made aware of problems people talk about, or things mm-hmm. that, you know, you held a big public meeting and people were able to sort of voice their concerns, some property owners and things like that.
And we listened.
Yeah. Oh, very, very, very well, actually. Yeah, it was a whole day just for that. And you mm-hmm. guys took all those comments, I'm sure. And so what are the decisions? Well, first of all, maybe you can talk about, like, what were some of the concerns that you had to address in this process? And then what did you decide to do?
Well, if I might just briefly back up
and
explain who we are, because a lot of people don't even know who we are or what we do. And then let me explain why we do the tube float. And then I will briefly, I don't want to take up a lot of time.
In suspense.
I don't want to... take up much of your time, because it's really just an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, a lot of people already do know the result.
Mm-hmm.
I will just go ahead and say it. Yes, we are having a tube float.
In 2017.
It will be on June 10th. And I will tell you that the route has been shortened and the event area has actually been relocated.
Oh, very interesting.
Yes. But let me explain who we are and what we do.
Yes, please.
The Parker Area Chamber, what was previously the Parker Area Chamber of Commerce, we are still Parker Area Chamber of Commerce doing business as the Parker Regional Chamber of Commerce and Tourism. We operate the year-round visitor center here in Parker, downtown Parker. We operate a destination marketing office under our umbrella. We are also a chamber of commerce, and commerce is business. So with that said, we are 65 years old this year.
Mm-hmm.
Our tube float is 40 years old this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have had a very long-standing relationship and significant presence in the community, the business community, the residents, civic events, and also events that will draw people to the area.
Yes.
So the tube float, being 40 years old, began in 1977. It has become a fourth holiday weekend in the Parker area.
It's huge.
It is. It's huge.
Yeah.
Now, people say it's gotten bigger over the years, but I think that realistically, it hasn't really gotten that much bigger. I think realistically, we have persuaded people to actually register for the event. Mm. People used to come and not register for the event. They didn't.
So you wouldn't know that they were there on the official rolls. Yeah, yeah.
It was hovering between 700 and 800 people out of about 8,000 people that were participating mm-hmm. in the event.
And that's true. Well, let me just back that up mm-hmm. because I think for a few years, when we've reported on it, we've always asked law enforcement afterwards, hey, what are your estimates for this event? Sometimes they have helicopters in the air and they're able to do sort of some crowd estimates.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always said, like you say, you know, especially for the past 7-8 years, they've been saying, hey, it's thousands and thousands of people, certainly between, you know, 6 and 10,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is, a few years ago, all you had was about 800 people out of that number.
8,000. We only had about 800. Yes, I'm sorry.
Registering
about 10%
for the event.
Yeah, yeah. About 10% of the total participants were actually registering for the event.
Right.
So me and my team made some changes, and that was in 2013. We made some changes. We put it online. We made it easier for people to register. We actually lowered the price to $10. It was $12, and then it was $15. We lowered the price to $10 in the you know, mindset that quantity we would make it up in quantity.
You price it for volume.
Exactly, and this is a fundraiser. This is absolutely a fundraiser for our organization, and we provide thousands and thousands of referrals to local merchants. Our members are always our first that we refer to, mm-hmm. but we do refer to other merchants, local merchants in the area. We help people find things in our visitor center. We direct them where to go, where to stay, what to do. All different kinds of things. We get a lot of crazy questions as well. And the volume of visitors has absolutely increased over the last few years. So it is a budgeted line income item for our organization.
Yeah.
But that's not the only reason we do it. Our businesses, our local businesses, have come to depend on this weekend for their summer income.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, prior to and post event, we perform surveys to business, local area businesses, restaurants, gas stations,
resorts,
yeah. Everybody.
And we certainly heard from some of them in the comment period, didn't we, on how this impacts their business in a positive way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So being the Chamber of Commerce, commerce being business, mm-hmm. You know, there was a point that and it was prior to me becoming the executive director, there was a point where the Chamber of Commerce felt that it wasn't viable to continue to do this event.
Mm-hmm.
And then after discussing and debriefing with staff and board members, they came to the conclusion, well, it's not just about us. It's about the local businesses. So if we're providing an event that brings people to the area and our local businesses are impacted, then that's a very good thing. On the tourism end of it, it also provides an opportunity to bring awareness to our area and look for future marketing to a demographic that would want to return to Parker to spend a weekend in a resort and use our gas stations, our restaurants, and
including a lot of younger people who might not otherwise have found us.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And this is where social media comes in. Our biggest demographic of fans, if you will, on our Parker, Arizona page is between 35 and 45.
Mm-hmm.
That demographic has changed over the last 2 years. It used to be 45 to 55,
mm-hmm.
but that it's changing. All the demographics are changing in the interest in the areas. I mean, John, you're in the demographic of what we refer to as millennials. I hate to categorize people.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a lot to offer here. And getting younger people interested in the outdoor active lifestyle is one of our missions as a destination marketing office. They're becoming more and
see,
more.
See, that part, what you're saying right now, mm-hmm. makes the most sense out of anything in this entire conversation to me.
Right.
That's where I'm at. Like, I look at this thing as, hey, you know, all of these, this entire area relies on
tourism
for a future, essentially.
Exactly.
And so you've got to be able to look 30, you know, 20 years, 30 years down the line and go, there will still be people coming after the people who used to come are no longer around.
Exactly.
And to do that is not as easy as people think.
It's not as easy as people think. And,
yeah.
and even though all of the algorithms and the insights and the marketing tools that we have with our digital marketing, they're very precise. Facebook can target an audience that is interested in off-roading and boating and nature and conservation. And that's where we're actually going to be going with this, our marketing campaign. It's called Act Right. mm-hmm. marketing, and giving examples of what not to do and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that said, our risk assessment for this event has been a long process. We're actually in a risk assessment process all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the tube float, we always debrief. After we've cleaned up, you know, trash and handled calls and things like that. You know, we're only three and a half people. I have three full-time people, including myself,
mm-hmm.
and a half-time person. So we can't do this event without the help of, I'm going to say, first of all, law enforcement, the first responders. They're our biggest allies and companions, I guess, if you wanted, partners.
Yeah.
Excuse me, in this event. And it's regardless of you know, some of the things that happen, I mean, we can't control everybody's behavior, but we can't do this event without the cooperation of the county,
mm-hmm.
the sheriff's department, all of the CRIT entities, all mm-hmm. of the first responders, Buckskin Fire Department. They write the safety management plan. There's more.
And a ton of volunteers. Yeah.
And I'm going there.
Yeah, it's just a huge collaborative thing, right?
There's thousands of moving parts mm-hmm. To put on an event of this magnitude, and in the past it's been a very small core of volunteers. We need to expand that volunteer base. So I am asking for volunteers. There's several different jobs that people can do in order to help us and help our community, our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I want to reiterate, I want to just really focus on the fact that Parker, Arizona is made up of mostly mom and pop shops. And these folks are your neighbors. They're your relatives. They are people that are in our community. So we need to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to help them, if you want to help us help them, we do have a volunteer sign up that will be posted probably tomorrow. You know, we need help with trash. We need help with registration. We need help with compressor, our inflation station. And I will tell you what the route is going to be. The route is going to be, we are launching at Buckskin Mountain State Park with the awesome cooperation of Arizona State Parks and the awesome cooperation of La Paz County Parks. We have a new route.
Okay, so it's going to start at Buckskin. That's pretty
Absolutely.
Big news, right?
Huge news.
Huge, because that's a totally different area of the river. So you're saying starting at that kind of dog leg there of the river at mm-hmm. Buckskin.
Right.
And then going to where?
Going to the event area at La Paz County Park, which is just south of Pirate's Den.
Okay.
Where we used to launch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
essentially, it's an entirely new stretch of river. It's not using any of the river that it used last year at all.
Correct.
Yeah, that's
correct.
Interesting.
Now, the decision was made for a multitude of reasons. We listen. We do listen, and we care.
Mm-hmm.
So people do need to know that. And, you know, not to, I want to say that it's a huge effort on our staff and, a huge undertaking for our staff. And, it's exhausting and it is, you know, we worry, we care. So, by shortening the route, the route now will be under 3 miles as opposed to nearly eight.
A shorter float. Well, it arguably was too long, right?
Absolutely.
The sense that it could take people almost all day to float down that river.
Well, and there's reasons that it took people all day to float down river, and mm-hmm. and those reasons will be eliminated by this other route.
Of course, the big thing that comes to my mind, and you're probably about to get there, is that there aren't as many private residences.
Correct.
There on that. When the old route, we heard from a lot of homeowners in places like mm-hmm. the, a few homeowners in places like the Keys and Merrill Est and Keys 2 and
sure.
places like that, where people had private property that was, you know, that was being sort of infiltrated by floaters and that sort of thing.
True.
And this new route, if I'm not mistaken, now I haven't heard about this till today, but I'm thinking on my feet, there's a lot of resorts more than anything else, resorts and parks.
There's three, what we call subdivisions,
mm-hmm.
and then there's also and resorts, and then there are there's a strip of homes, but a small strip of homes,
mm-hmm.
and we have so much more interest in people volunteering to be on the water, to provide assist vessels, to assist in floaters not coming close to that shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful for the amount and the tremendous cooperation and volunteerism that has come forth. There's a boat company coming out of Las Vegas to be assist vessels on the water. If you are interested in being an assist vessel, you absolutely need to come to me and sign up. Flags will be issued, water, ice, and some other little perks for our volunteers. It's just giving us an opportunity to have the event be much more well managed.
With a shorter route, mm-hmm. it might give people less of a reason to get off and get on docks.
Correct.
So a lot of the problems they're having, that was after several hours already.
Yeah.
So hopefully maybe with the 3 miles.
I mean, my instant reaction is I think this could mitigate a lot of those issues that people were talking about.
Correct.
Just this one change. And are there other changes as well?
There are other changes. There are other changes that will be pertinent to the actual floaters, the registered floaters. The price has gone up. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for $10. In 1997, it was $10. It is going to be $20 for the participants to float. We really examined that and felt like, you know, our expenses have gone up,
mm-hmm.
Insurance, paying for, paid volunteers actually
yeah.
is what it's amounting to.
Well, and I also
trash and assist vessels and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think $20 is sort of competitive too with other events. Would it not be?
Well, it is. And people really need to think about this as it's a festival. It's a concert. It's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And we felt $20 was a very fair price. They will have to pay $10 to park at La Paz County Park. And that's the other thing about this route is that their vehicle will be at the end of the route, at the finish line. What will happen, I'll just give you some details.
Yeah.
Drivers in private vehicles will bring their group into Buckskin Mountain State Park, and they will drop their group off at the park.
Mm-hmm.
They will then drive down to La Paz County Park. The drivers of the vehicle will be given a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They will drive down to La Paz County Park. They will need to pay $10 at La Paz County Park. La Paz County Park staff will park them in mm-hmm. appropriate parking areas. Then the drivers of the vehicles, the private vehicles, will then get on a shuttle,
mm-hmm.
and they will be transported right back up to Buckskin to join their group to float. So,
got it.
Yes, that's something that we're providing this year. We've never provided transportation. We are providing transportation only for the drivers of the private vehicles of the registered floaters.
I got it.
So they can get back quickly. There'll be some short buses. They'll be able to get back up quickly mm-hmm. to join their group. And as soon as law enforcement's on the water, we'll launch everybody. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of other moving parts to this, but those are basically
some of the big changes.
The big changes. And I don't like to make too many big changes all at once. Since I've been the director, we have made changes throughout the years. We've tried to make it not too, big change. You know, we don't want to do that to people. But this is the year that we absolutely needed to relocate
mm-hmm.
the event for many, many, many reasons, not just one reason.
Yeah.
And I want to say that in 2013, when me and my team – did some of the changes that we made from launching from Petrea Futz, moving that to La Paz County Park, putting it online, making an impact on the local economy. We actually were nominated and won the Governor's Award for a special event in a rural designation. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal.
Well, yeah, it speaks to kind of how you were able to do some of those things and how those people felt you were running the event.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. You up for taking a couple of calls?
Sure.
Good morning. Hi, you're on the radio.
Hey, I think it's a very great idea moving the course. And what you didn't mention, Mary, is the fact that there's a huge current at Buckskin. So that 3 miles is going to go very, very fast. The current usually stops right when you get to La Paz County Park. The other thing is, it's very narrow there. So last year, even though the river was closed, they allowed boats on the other side of the river, California side, to go up and down to pass through. Because of the fact that it's so narrow there, there's no way that you're going to be able to allow any boats other than assist boats in that area. Now, is that going to be difficult for the sheriffs to stop these boats this year? Because last year they didn't at all.
What about that, Captain Bagby?
The problem with that is we are there to, I don't want this to sound wrong, but our main priority is safety and mm-hmm. people not drowning and all that kind of stuff. So the officers were hoping to not have to focus their time on much enforcement. So they're going to try to do a no wake, people going slowly through, because when we try to stop it completely, it starts fights. I think you guys had problems with that. And I'm saying we, I don't go out there, I'm not a boating officer, but generally speaking, the officers, they have a problem when they try to completely stop traffic. People get angry, they want to fight. So they're just going to ask them to please slow it down, you know, no wake, keep it slow. But the more enforcement we're doing, the more time we're spending grabbing and stopping people, the less time we're having watching, making sure people are safe.
Right.
Gotcha.
And our fleet of assist vessels also are issued a radio from the Boating Safety Center. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, if someone is denied passage through the event area, that is up to the patrol commander, who is the United States Coast Guard, and they will be on the water again.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But Mary, I remember last year many times as an assist vessel trying to get people to slow down, and you know how it goes, Captain. They're not going to listen to you. They, who are you? But the other thing is going through the Echo Lodge area, that is so narrow, so there's plenty of room for floaters, but no room for boats and floaters.
Is there a concern?
It's going to be a big concern, as I say.
When we have our upcoming meetings, we'll have the Lieutenant Schleck, the boating guy, who will have better answers than I do, and I'll definitely bring that up in the meetings, and we'll take into consideration. It's not something I can really answer because it's not what I do, but I'll make sure they take that into consideration.
All right.
Absolutely.
The other thing real quick, Mary, and I got the phone, is raising it from 10 to 20 is doubling the expense. That's just opening up for more and more people just to jump into the river and not pay. So I think where you might generate, you might generate more income, but you're going to have less people paying. That's just my opinion. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate your call. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. What about that, Mary? Do you think that the cost of the ticket might encourage non-registering as in the past? Or is this more of a festival kind of entry where to even get access to the launch area, you need to pay this money?
It is absolutely a festival kind of mentality, and it needs to be... It needs to be promoted that way, and it also, you know, we have expenses. People can't expect to go to a concert and expect to get in for free.
No, like I told you, I think the $20 seems competitive with other events like this.
It's mm-hmm. going to be harder because people aren't going to come down knowing where to jump in, and a lot of it is a lot of it's private property. It's not going to be easy on that whole area to jump in the river unless they try to go to the county park and then.
Exactly.
You know,
it's so, so anyone that is staying at any of the resorts or private homes along the event area, as long as they have their wristbands, they can jump in.
But what about if they don't and they try to jump in? Obviously, there will be enforcement of that on the water, but it's hard to enforce. Those problems have always been with the float, I guess.
I think there will be less. I actually feel like there will be less because it is a shorter route.
Yeah.
It is.
And I guess that's something that you can evaluate after this year. I'm sure after the event, you always do a debrief.
Absolutely. And yeah. We're in weekly meetings and sometimes more than that, more than ever. But with cooperation of the subdivisions and cooperation from the businesses, which would be Sundance. They don't have camping, but then, there's Sandbar. They always sell wristbands.
Yeah.
They actually make sure that their guests have wristbands.
That's great.
And
I'm sure having more cooperation from the resorts will help as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to encourage more last minute people buying wristbands because of the way it's set up.
I'll be honest. Like for me, $20 isn't going to be, it isn't going to encourage me to try to get around the thing, mm-hmm. To get around the entry fee. I'm going to say $20. Yeah. That sounds like what an event is.
Right. So what we're providing is a safe day to float the river,
mm-hmm.
have some fun, enjoy the scenery, make some new friends.
Now,
I
gotcha.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a tough question.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to any homeowners in that area who may be listening and have maybe seen some of the news last year of, potential, like, we had trouble at our place last year. Should they be worried, or do you think a lot of what you've done has already started to mitigate some of that?
A lot of what we've done has already started to mitigate that. I would suggest if they wanted to contact me, I'm more than welcome to take their calls. I was planning to visit each of those. I think there's less than 10 homes on that stretch on the Arizona side.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so
that's a significant reduction.
That's just the private homes. I'm not talking about like Rio Lindo and,
right.
Marina Village North and Marina Village.
No, I got you.
So just, with cooperation from the resorts, the subdivisions, I think it'll be a much better experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we do plan to have assist vessels in the trouble areas, such as Foxes. There's an eddy in front of Foxes that we do intend to guide floaters onto the California side so that they kind of miss that eddy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the floaters need to be very, very aware to stay away from docks. They are, there are some undertows there that can be kind of dangerous. So it's an education process, and we do it for everybody, not just for us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mary, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And I'm sure, this will be, we'll put it out there. We'll do an article on Parker Live and sort of let people know some of those changes. And I'm sure you guys will be communicating to floaters where to go and what to do. So
we love telling people where to go. That's our job.
So does Captain Bagby.
So do I.
I get that a lot when I come in here. Being told where to go.
No, but we do it in a fun way. People come into our office, our visitor center, they're usually here to have fun. So,
right.
So we want to make sure that the visitors are having fun and that the local businesses are successful. And that's our mission. And and the tube float is part of our mission. So thank you very much, John.
Thank you so much for coming in and allowing us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And Captain Bagby, thank you so much.